Hello, everybody.
Body. Hey, Miles, how are you?
I'm fine, darling. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Very good. Hopefully you can all hear me today. I'm on holiday, so I'm in the back room of a hotel trying to as quiet as possible silence. So if you have any problems, Miles, just talk over me. But really looking forward to this one today.
Yeah, me too. I really am. Yeah, you're cutting out a tiny bit, but it's fine. I can still hear you.
Okay, I'm changing between the Wi-Fi, so
Oh, you've gone very underwater.
is that better
Oh, yeah,
now?
that's better. That's definitely better. Good.
Okay, perfect. I put the Wi-Fi on, but we're not gonna get stressed out. This is unwinding,
No, we're not.
and really got some really interesting questions as well for tonight. So finding joy, a big subject and something that I sort of struggled with for quite a long time. Before working with Moles, I was always sort of looking for things outside of myself to try and make me feel whole. I didn't realize that I was actually okay. And yeah, that's what Moles has taught me, and that's why we're doing this project. And it's yeah, just really looking forward to some of the things that I know we're going to speak about tonight.
Yeah, me too. I think it's such a what we're going to do tonight is clear up a big misunderstanding. You know, many people suffer from this belief that they can find joy outside of themselves. It's like this eternal seeking, this eternal search for joy and happiness, and ultimately it doesn't actually live outside of yourself. And we'll kind of be uncovering a little bit more about that tonight. So yeah, it's a really interesting topic. I'm gonna go ahead and start. Thank you for those that have joined us and those that are listening to the recording. We're definitely a bit earlier than we used to be, but we just decided that for both of us, it's much easier to kind of do it at this time rather than later. So it will be from now on around 6 o'clock in UK time on a Thursday. So what prompted tonight's talk subject was a tweet, and someone had put out there that is there something in adulthood that can bring back the joy that they once experienced during childhood? The feeling of the days feeling endless and every new discovery feeling magical. Nowadays, I feel like I'm in this constant state of emptiness mixed with short bursts of emotion. And I don't want some temporary experience like taking some form of psychedelics. I mean, like getting that sensation daily akin to something that can produce a more sustainable, not having to rely on a drug. Okay, so what this person is basically saying is that happiness, that joy, that well-being, that contentment that they felt as a child, that isn't with them anymore. And like, how do you get it back? And what really prompted me and fascinated me were this person got over 200 answers, and every answer was a different way of getting this joy back. And almost every answer was how to find it in the world. You need to do this, you need to do that, you need to go here, you need to do this thing daily, you need to, it was just it was so interesting that there were so many different things that were pointed to when ultimately all of those 200 answers were a misunderstanding, because that feeling lives within you. It isn't an outside thing. It's not something you can get. And if there was one way to get it in the world, then everybody would have actually said the same answer. What would have come back was to over 200 answers that were exactly the same. But what I saw in the answers was actually everybody's experience was different. Everybody was projecting something different from their experience onto that person and saying, that's what gives me joy. Why don't you try that? And there isn't a joy prescription. It can't work like that. So basically, they were trying to write a prescription to that person to give them joy. And so this misunderstanding is what we really want to look at tonight. It's very easy to get caught in the illusion that there is something in the world that's going to give you that magic and joy. And what happens occasionally is something does, and then we project our happiness and joy onto that thing, and then we try and repeat it, and it doesn't work. And it's like, why hasn't that given me magic and joy? It did before. Why is it not giving me magic and joy now? And the reason that it's not giving you magic and joy now is because it never existed in the thing. So what I want to talk a little bit about is, so where is magic and joy? Where does it come from? What's actually going on? Because who we are before thinking has joy, has peace of mind, has well-being, has all of the things that we're trying to find in the world to fill us up. Actually, it's when we have that moment of dropping out of our conceptual mind, when our personal thinking quiets, that's actually the moment that we access that joy. That's the moment where we access that peace of mind. It's an allowing that happens. Now, what we can do is we think that we can think our way to joy, that we can manipulate the world to give us joy. And people get so lost, because what happens is when that doesn't happen, they get really down. So this tweet from this person, it kind of made me a bit sad in a way, because you can see how they're so lost because they can't find that magic again. And what they're searching for is magic. What's really interesting, everything that everybody is doing is actually searching for a feeling. Whatever it looks like that you're doing is actually you trying to manufacture a feeling within yourself of peace, of joy, of well-being, of happiness. Now, when we strip it back to an understanding that it can only live within us, it can only come from us, and it's not dependent on circumstance, then that changes things. So what happens is that what we're actually experiencing is thought. We are only ever living in the feeling of our thinking. Thought is constantly creating our experience, okay? Now, what we try to do is we try to use thinking to create a better experience, but actually a lot of the time using thought to try and create experience creates stress, okay? Because what we're then doing is we're thinking that we can manipulate the thinking to have an experience, and we're stripping all that away. We're coming back to source with this understanding. We're coming back to the fact that we are this human being, and this human being has an energy coming through, an intelligence coming through, a wisdom coming through that creates our experience. And within that system lives joy, lives happiness, lives contentment, and lives well-being. And all of those things are seen when we drop out of our minds, when we see before our personal thinking, okay? So joy is innate, okay? It's not manufactured, it's innate, it's who we are. So with this really interesting tweet, it just became so obvious to me how people are constantly outsourcing their well-being. They're outsourcing all the time the joy actually belongs to them, that is already residing within them. Okay, we're not going to feel that all the time, by the way. Even when we see what I'm teaching you, what we're actually going to experience is that it will come and go. But when it comes, we're not attaching it to the world. When it comes, we're seeing that it's coming from us. Okay, so when I feel joy, I'm not looking at the world and working out what gave me the joy and trying to repeat and manufacture it. When I feel joy, I know that that's just where I am. That's what's coming from me. And I experience it. And when it falls away, it falls away, and I have another experience. But we're not manipulating the human experience in this understanding. We're allowing the human experience, but we're seeing that the more we outsource our joy, the more we say it's in this person or it's in this thing, or it's in this much money, or it's in this experience, the further away from joy we're going. Okay, this is what's really interesting. That all the things that people do to manipulate joy actually take them further away from it, because you're going further into the misunderstanding. You're going further into the untruth, because the truth is, if everyone of us on this call dropped out of our personal thinking, okay, if we dropped out of our minds, We were completely present in the moment, and we just allowed what was there to come through, we would see the pure magic of being alive. Okay, we would feel that joy, because we wouldn't be adding our concepts and our beliefs and our ideas to the present moment. We wouldn't be adding the past. We wouldn't be adding the future. We would just be here now, and we would experience it exactly as it is. And we would be in total awe of this experience. Unfortunately, what we do is we add so much of us to that. We have so many beliefs. Think of all the, you know, me too, all the beliefs that we have around this concept of happiness and joy, and all those areas in life where we think that needs to be in place for us to feel it. Okay, so we project our beliefs onto the world, and those beliefs actually are detrimental to us feeling happiness, because we are putting in place circumstances and ideas around joy rather than seeing the moment we are present, the moment we go before thought, the moment we call out our bullshit, that joy exists. Okay, it's if there was a way to manufacture joy, someone would have done it, and they would be a billionaire, and we would all be constantly feeling joy. And we don't. We experience life. Joy is something that comes and goes. But I guarantee you, it's always part of our well-being. It's always there. It's just that we cover it up with so much personal thought. We cover it up with so much belief. Okay? What we want joy. We want allowing. We want to be open. We want to be in touch with our deepest self, with this being. But we've all been misdirected. We've all looked outside of ourselves for it. And it's this coming home that is so important about this conversation. It's that coming home, this inquiry into who we really are, that really begins to show us the truth of happiness, the truth of the human experience. There's so much pressure taken off us when we do this exploration and we see it for ourselves, because what happens is that all the pressure that we put on ourselves about having to have life look a certain way for us to be okay, have a certain state of mind for us to be okay, have certain people in our lives for us to be okay, when all that manipulation falls away, it's like a rucksack of rocks coming off our back. It's like, oh, okay, it was here all along. And I don't have to be fixing or doing or manipulating to get the feeling that I'm looking for. And the doing and the fixing and the manipulating, as I said, is taking us away from the feeling. We're going further into a misunderstanding. We're saying that the world outside of me needs to give me what I want, rather than seeing that the world inside of me already contains it. It's so much simpler than how we thought it was. It's so much simpler than what our mind tells us. Yeah, the mind will always be tricky. The mind will always come in and, you know, make a lot of noise. That's what minds do. But the moment we see that the mind is just, the mind is creating a movie, the mind is creating a story, the mind is chattering, the mind has so much untruth. When we begin to explore that and we detach from the narrative that our mind is giving us, we come back to this simplicity. We go, okay, I don't have to believe that thinking anymore. I can see that the direction that I was going in, going outside for my well-being, was actually creating so much disharmony within me. And actually coming inside and waking up from within, you know, and this is an awakening process. I truly believe when you look in this direction and you awaken to these energies behind life and you know, your own thought system, and that thought isn't telling you the truth, that you go to a deeper space, something happens, something changes. You know, we're not running around in our heads anymore, just believing what thought is telling us. We're going in. We're observing thought rather than being thought. Yeah. So where we believe thought was true, where we believe thought was our identity, and it told us something really about us, we're beginning to see that thought is a fluid thing that comes and goes, that I don't have to pin my identity on, that I'm not this isn't fixed, that actually this is fluid. And in the fluidity, I can actually challenge my belief system. I can challenge what I see in the world, and I can, something deeper can awaken. And then in that awakening, my natural joy, my natural well-being will be experienced. That's the difference. It's organic, it's innate, it's natural. It can't be manufactured, it isn't manufactured. You know, for me, I lived in a really dark place for a number of years, and it was seeing this that took me from the darkness to the light. It was seeing this that changed my world. It looked to me that the world had to change for me to be okay. But actually, all that had to change was how I saw it. And my first insight, the one that completely changed how I saw everything, was into thought. I saw that every experience, good and bad, that I had ever had come from my own thinking, that it was a projection of my mind. Now, I'm not saying the world doesn't exist and we live in it. Of course, it has the appearance of that, and we do live in a world, but it's always what I'm making up that I'm applying to the world. There was something in the freedom of seeing that allowed my mind to begin to heal. It allowed me to recover mental well-being. So it's this difference. It isn't an outside-in experience. It's an inside-out experience. It isn't the world creating your feeling. It's the thought-feeling connection. What you're thinking is what you're feeling. You are always living in the feeling of your thinking. And it's that simple. Because then when we catch ourselves overthinking, and when we catch ourselves in a thought storm, then that moment where we come out of it, that's joy. That's where joy lives. That's where happiness lives. Again, the world is suffering, but it's suffering from one thing, which is this misunderstanding. Everybody is running around trying to find their well-being. You know, it's like trying to find your nose. It's already on your face. You know, you don't have to run around trying to find well-being. It already exists within you. Look at all the times. How many times in a day do you see another article or a tweet or, you know, something online around, you know, well-being is found here. Do this and you will have well-being. Do this and you'll be happy. You know, everybody's out there trying to find it. And it's a wild goose chase. Like, come home. Home, that the home that is within you is where well-being lives. The home that you were born with, you know, it's who you are before who you think you are. Who you think you are is part of the illusion. Yeah, who you really are is something that we probably can't even comprehend. It's much deeper. I think it's much deeper than the mind can understand. I always say to clients, it's like our minds can't comprehend infinity when we look up to the sky. And it's a bit like we're infinite. The truth of who we are is infinity. So that's hard to comprehend. Our minds aren't really going to get it. But we know it's true because we have a sense of it. We have a feeling of who we are. We know that there's something more. And I think that's when we get to this point where, for me, I had that experience. It was my time to see it 9 years ago. I'd inquired into this direction, and luckily I found what I was looking for. And it was me all along. And I think for everybody on this call, it's the same thing. There's something in you that knows there's something more than this human, that knows there's something more to this experience of being alive. But we've all been dumbed down so much by life and by what we've been told and by systems that are detrimental to us, that it can sometimes feel like a fight to find it, but it isn't a fight. It's here now. It's who you are. Okay? Who you are is so much more than who you think you are. This limitlessness of your being, this divinity of your being, this, like, this exploration, when you touch it, when you explore it, when you see this truth, there is nothing but joy. There is nothing but well-being. Now, of course, we're human. We're going to come out of that. Am I constantly in my well-being? Absolutely not. But do I know it's there? And do I know it can appear at any moment? Absolutely. It really isn't circumstantial. And I'll give you an example from my experience. I think I'd been around the understanding for around 3 years. And I went to London, met a friend, had a beautiful day, and came home, and I had to go through King's Cross Station. And I hit King's Cross Station. I'm walking through, and suddenly an overwhelming sense of peace and joy and well-being hit me. It was as if I'd done a very, very deep meditation, and I touched something, and I felt really, really blissful. Now, I was in King's Cross Station, you know, at 5 o'clock in the afternoon, an incredibly busy time, and not somewhere you would expect to have a deep spiritual experience. And I remember I had to go and sit down. And as I sat down, it was as if King's Cross Station was a beautiful dance. The noises of the tannoy, of the clicking of the board of the trains. And it was just, wow. And for me, that was the moment that I truly saw for myself that my joy and my well-being can only come from me, because it's as sure as hell not going to come from King's Cross Station. If you're American, it's like King's Cross Station is one of the busiest, noisiest stations in London. And to have that experience there was like, oh, it really does all come from me. It really is all me, and not this separate me, not this me that I think I am, this energy, this that creates the appearance of me, this source, this divinity, this energy that can't be destroyed. You know, yes, we live and we die, but that's just what the body goes through. That physics has said energy can't be destroyed. You can feel your own energy. You can feel that you're alive. There's a sense of something about who we are that is far greater than who we think we are. So it's in this inquiry where the ideas of an outside world creating your well-being, just they can't hold up. They can't be present, because it doesn't make logical sense for that to be true anymore. You'll get to a point where suddenly it won't make sense for the world to give you well-being. It won't make sense for the world to give you happiness. You'll have a deep insight into the fact that it can only come from you. And that's freedom. Okay, so freedom isn't circumstantial. Freedom doesn't come from the world looking a certain way. Freedom doesn't come from your life looking a certain way. Freedom comes from you. Now, from that freedom, we can go and change the world. You know, we all know, most of us on this call, that that's something that we're passionate about. But start with you. Start with your consciousness. Start with who you are. When you start with who you are, then it's much easier to go out in the world and be this change. When you're just, when you haven't found it in yourself and you're projecting it onto the world, it becomes more difficult. It's coming back home. Once you see that and you see your limitlessness, you see who you are, you touch your deepest state of being, then that will just reveal itself. So there is still a world, there is still experience, but we don't have to micromanage it. It becomes revealed. It's like, where am I flowing now? Where am I going now? What am I experiencing now? Yeah, it's that change. It looks like a subtle shift, but it's literally huge. It's huge to see that how easily we've just looked outside of ourselves and how easy it is to come home and see it differently. Yeah, again, it's the whole system's manipulated for us to look outside of ourselves for well-being. So it makes absolute sense that we've done that. But we can all cotton on to it. We can all that, and I think everybody that's stayed listening to this has cottoned onto it, has had that insight, has seen, oh, okay, yeah, what they're telling us isn't true. You know, the I'll be happy when. I'll be happy when. People never get to happiness when it's an I'll be happy when. Because there isn't a when. There's only a now. There's only this. This moment contains everything you could possibly want if you saw it from the deepest sense of who you are. It's our minds that come in and say, more. No, I need this. No, I want this. And it's fine to want. You know, I'm not saying we shouldn't have wants in the world. We're having the human experience, but we hold them in a different way when we see who we are. We can want, but not be bothered if we get. That's the difference. Because we haven't projected our well-being, our feelings onto an object. We've come home. There's Sid Banks is the founder of what I teach. It's called The Three Principles. And he had a quote, "The sickness of the mind are feelings that we create and put onto objects. But if you see objects without the feelings, then you are healthy." Yeah, and that's what we're doing. That's what this project is about. This is what we want to wake up in people. It's no object, and that includes people, contain our feelings. We're always putting our feelings onto the world. Yeah? If we notice that, then we stop doing it, then our well-being is revealed. Yeah, it's back to that simplicity. It's back to seeing that nothing outside is going to give it to you. It's all within you, always. So I'm going to see if Jem has anything to say.
Well, firstly, that was amazing. I don't know about anyone else, but it felt like you were definitely talking to me that whole time. And I'm sure other people feel the same. But yeah, I was always looking for joy outside of me as well. And it wasn't until I found Moles and found this that everything sort of previously makes sense, because I kind of did make it all up and I was believing my own bullshit. And it was almost like taking off a pair of shoes that were way too tight that I'd been wearing pretty much my whole life. And it's like, oh God, I don't even need to wear those shoes. I can be barefoot and be happy and be free. I don't need anything. And that's really what we want to share with you. It sounds like I've always been told that there was a lot that I needed to do for me to have my wellness and be happy. And to find out that there was actually nothing I needed to do, it was a bit of a mind blower. And it is the most peaceful, amazing thing. I thought I would always sort of struggle with mental health throughout my life. And that was because that's how they make money. You know, it's it's not good for people to be happy and healthy. That's not profitable. And as soon as I found the three principles, I was like, oh my goodness, is it this simple? And we laugh about it all the time, me and Moles, and we just, you can say one thing to me now and I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, great. You know, it's that whole situation doesn't even exist. It was all coming from me. Even just slightly earlier when I was sort of rushing around to try and get out the hotel room to find somewhere quiet to do this, I organized to go into sort of the back part of the restaurant. And I was on the phone to Moles about 15 minutes before, just having a chat. And I said, oh, I've got this place and I'm going to be able to get into, and the doors were locked. So I'm there and I'm pushing and I'm pulling the doors and I'm like, bloody hell, Moles, I've organized it. How is this happening? We're going live in 10 minutes. And I look over and I said, oh, why have you locked the door? You know, you've organized for me to go in here. And they're like, oh, the doors slide, madam. And I just burst into, we both just cracked up and just couldn't stop laughing. And then what did you say? It reminded you of that brilliant quote. So.
Oh God, there's an amazing quote. I couldn't stop laughing. It was so funny. But it reminded me of this amazing quote. And it is, a man will be imprisoned in a room with a door that's unlocked and opens inwards as long as it does not occur to him to pull rather than push. And I was like, oh, that's so perfect. That's going to be perfect for tonight. It's perfect for what happened. And actually, it speaks to everything we've just said, because, you know, what are we doing when we're going outside of ourselves for our well-being? It's like we're actually going to pull the door rather than push. We're going in the wrong direction. And it's all about seeing that. And you know, actually, in truth, there is no door, you know. But it's so interesting that it looks like there is, and it looks like there's a way of doing things. And the moment that we have clarity and we see that actually that isn't the way to do it, like for Jem, the door slid. Like there wasn't a push or a pull, and she just didn't see it till someone came up and told her. And I think sometimes this is what this understanding is like. For me, it was like, oh my God, how didn't I see that I was creating my experience? How did it take me 40 years to work out that everything I was experiencing was coming from me, and that I wasn't a victim of anything, that I didn't need fixing, that I was absolutely mentally healthy in that moment, but I just hadn't seen it? And that's the beauty of this. That's the power of this. But yes, Jem, back to you.
I lost you then for a second, but my belly still hurts from laughing, and it's everything just becomes so much more simple. And I've been away for the week. I spoke about it on a previous call a couple of weeks ago. One of my good friends passed away, and she's got two young boys. So I've actually been up in Blackpool with them this week, and dealing with children is really quite, well, it's, I don't think I would have been able to actually handle this a few years ago. It's been a lot of strain with the sort of the grief that they're going through, but also they wanted to get away. So I've kind of been the middle person, and I've dealt with it really well. I've learned so much about myself with patience and, you know, dealing with young children that are not in a great place. But I'm really proud of what I've done this week, and it's been really eye-opening. And yeah, I think I would have been much more reactive if the situation had happened a few years ago, whereas I've been a really calming influence, I feel. And yeah, it's been really quite wonderful. I've had an amazing trip. There's been lots of exciting things going on, but like, I feel okay. We've been in theme parks, and there's been arguments sometimes, and it's like, actually, it's all okay, because it's not really anything to do with me. And if I don't react and I just be that peaceful, calm person that I know I am, it's actually been really, really good. So again, just these tools, not even tools, because there's nothing to do, but yeah. you will see the change in yourself as you stay in the conversation. You know, there was nothing ever wrong, and it was just my thinking. And when you get to that point and you take self-ownership and you realise that actually it's all coming from me, and you get out of that victim mentality, it is just great. Like I said, I thought I would always struggle with mental health, and it's like, wow, it's like my life's just begun, really. I'm so glad that I've sort of stuck everything out and really worked on this, because I don't think I could be in a better place.
Yeah, so. I love that you said that second life, that's what it felt like for me. It's like there was a pre-principles Moles and there's a post-principle Moles. There's two different people. And I think that's a really good point. There was the one that believed all her thinking, that believed she was a victim of her past, that felt like she had to get something from the world. And there's this Moles of the last 9 years that, it doesn't look like that anymore. There's a free Moles, there's a happy Moles, you know, and it wasn't as if I hadn't been in an exploration before 9 years of seeking. You know, I'd been on, in my life, many different paths to find enlightenment, many different therapies. I'd done a lot of that work, but it was in seeing that I was already it that was the gift. It wasn't in the doing, it was in the being. And when I became aware of that, when the being was revealed, when the simplicity was revealed, when it showed me I was already there, there was nowhere to get. It's like I was what I was looking for. Then it was easy. Then it was all there. It was all there waiting for me. Do sometimes I wish I'd found it earlier? Of course, but everything is exactly as it's meant to be. If I found it, if I lived to 90 and I found it at 89, I'd be grateful, because it's just liberating and it's freedom. And I just want to go back to the original tweet that we based this call off of. And something I didn't talk about was that person said that in childhood, they felt this freedom, they felt this magic, they felt this happiness. And as an adult, they don't feel it. What I want to point to is why the child feels like that. The child is free of the beliefs that we have. The child is free of the fixed character. The child isn't running around self-conscious. The child is being. The child is in the moment. It's not a fixed person. It hasn't calcified the character, okay? And what happens as we get older, as the character calcifies, as it hardens, as it becomes more real, we live by it, and that's what creates this contraction and makes it appear as if there's no joy. It's a contraction of our own thinking. It's our own belief system that's trapped us. And the child is much freer of that. The child generally doesn't have that system set, so they can just be present and they can be in the moment. It's the identity hasn't formed. So what this exploration is us challenging and seeing through the identity to feel that way again. Yeah, so it's really understandable. It makes absolute sense that we felt that as a child and we haven't as an adult. Because that's what thought does. It becomes fixed. It becomes real. The identity becomes set. When we're a kid, it's not. You know, you watch a child. They'll. You know, Jem said about being with the kids. About 1 minute they're arguing, wanting to kill each other, and the next minute they were probably fine and having fun. But they weren't. They weren't holding on to the previous experience. There's just the moment. There's just presence. So that's the beauty and the magic of being a child. If, you know, and people can say to me, well, yeah, but, you know, we were seeing everything for the first time. It all looked magical. And I'm like, yeah, you can see things for the first time right now. I've had experiences through this understanding in the last 9 years where I've literally been in awe of being in a park and looking at trees. It's been like, oh, my God, like magic. And the magic is there because it is as if I'm seeing it for the first time. My concepts have dropped away. My beliefs have dropped away. There's a moment of clarity. There's a moment of something deeper coming through and I'm not stuck in my intellect. And in those moments, the totality of experience and seeing the oneness, seeing the truth of who we are, allows us to see through fresh eyes. So you don't need to be a child to see the world in a magical way. You see the world in a magical way when you drop out of your concepts, when you drop out of your ideas, when you let go of everything you think you know, and you're just here now. That's magic. That's magic that's available to all of us. Yeah, it's not. And again, it's not circumstantial. It's innate. Now, do I feel that all the time? No. But is that available to me from time to time? Absolutely. And when I see it, I know that there's less of me around. Does that make sense? It's like there's less of my character. There's less of moles. I'm not stuck in my identity. I've dropped out of my identity. I've come back into the oneness, into the true nature. Now, from there, everything's a miracle. Everything's magic. It's like, wow, I'm breathing. I'm living. I'm here. You know, there were the founder of the Three Principles is a man named Sydney Banks, and he had a very deep enlightenment experience when he saw thought and he saw this understanding, and he kind of lived there for a lot of his life. He, you know, his experience was so deep that he lived in that place that I just visit. And people like one of my teachers, Dr. Dickon Bettinger, is an American guy. He spent a lot of time with Sid Banks, and he said the most amazing thing was like seeing him drink a cup of tea, because it'd be like, oh, this is the best cup of tea I've ever had. And like, he would really mean it. His presence in the moment and what was happening, everything was a miracle. Everything was amazing. And for most of us, I guess it's, we're not probably not going to live there, but the fact that we can visit there is something that really makes life so much better. It's incredibly enriching. It's incredibly enlivening. You know, it brings such magic to life. And Sid wasn't special. I'm not special. Jem's not special. This is available for every one of us. We can all have this experience. We are all made of the same thing. If the fact that we're one points to the fact that we can all access this and have this experience and have a different way of being. Yeah, it isn't, you know, I hate the kind of guru. I hate, you know, that way of that there's someone above you that has attained something that's special and you've got to do all this doing to get there. No. No, that's not it. What it is we are all one. We all have this access to this truth. If we go, if we inquire, if we're called to the journey home, and when we see it, we all have our perfect experience of it. And when we have our experience of it, we see the absolute ordinariness of it. So that's the other thing. Like, I'm talking here about how magic it is, and it is. Because it's here, it's now. It's not an additive. It's not something we have to get. In fact, it's in the taking away of everything that we see. It allows it to emerge. So it's really simple. It's really who we already are. Nothing you can do can get you there. And that can drive you crazy when, like, if you haven't had that glimpse yet, someone saying there's nothing you can do to get there can seem incredibly frustrating, but it's actually really, really helpful. But, you know, it's not in the doing. You can listen and be open and inquire. And when that moment is right for you to have your experience and for you to see beyond the illusion of yourself, the illusion of life, then that will be perfect for you. But it's not in a doing. You doing is getting in the way of you being. It's a stripping back. It's a coming home. Again, available to every person on this planet. Even the ones that we look at and we think, how would they ever see it? They're such an arsehole. Even they could have a glimpse and they could see it. You know, that's the truth. The fundamental truth of who we are. There is one shared being. There is one energy that has created all things. And out of that come all these unique, beautiful humans that go into the world and have their experiences, and at some point something calls them home, to explore and remember who they are. And in that moment, they find everything that they were looking for. That's the beauty of life. Gems.
Well, it is just so true. And so it's so simple. And it was quite, I did find it annoying at the beginning, I'm not going to lie. I was just like, how the fuck have I managed to do all of these shitty things to make myself feel better? And none of them have worked. And they've all been, you know, pretty pointless now, but they got me to where I was supposed to be. And like you said earlier, I don't think a few years ago I was probably ready to hear and be in this, because I was still sort of pushing back and thinking, well, no, I can fix everything, I can sort everything out. And I was very much trying to do it sort of outside of me rather than inside. But everything happens at the right time, and anyone that's hearing this now, it's because you are supposed to. We have some really wonderful questions tonight, and I've just noticed that we've got a request. So if it's okay, I'm going to spin through a few questions, Moles, because one of them actually I want to know the answer to, that someone asked us earlier.
Perfect.
And it is, so if everything is already within us, what is the point in doing anything? And sometimes I feel like just sitting in a field and doing nothing. I feel like, you know, there's nothing that I really want or need now. So sometimes I feel not lost, but it's like, okay, what should I be doing? What shouldn't I be doing? So, yeah, if that. Okay.
Yeah, I get that. I think at first it can feel like if someone is really driven and really in their head and really feels like, it really living in the illusion that the world is going to give them what they want, then they have a glimpse of this. Sometimes it can be a kind of unsettling, and it can be a point where they well, what's the point of it all? You know, what, you know, I'm doing all this, what's the point? But there'll be a point at later on where it becomes enjoyable. Okay, so there is a point that we are here to be human. You know, we are here to have experiences. We are here to have fun. What happens is we do the things, but it takes a seriousness out of them. So I wouldn't say I particularly have goals. I think I'm much more someone that would flow. So like if I take this project as an example, we've set it up and we've gone with the flow, and it's turned into a podcast, and it's gonna, you know, it's gonna go places. And I'm not set on this one place that this project needs to go. I know and I trust that it will go where it needs to go. But you know, Jim, when I need to be dynamic and work on the project, I do it. You know, when I need to write something, I'll do it. It's if the energy is coming through me of doing, then I do get on with it. I don't think what's the point, because everything's within me already. I want to really enjoy the human experience. I want to get as much out of it as I can. So the other thing is I'm not running around thinking that because it's all pointless, that my joy is already in me. Why would I try and have things that make me happy in the world? Well, I still want to pretend that things make me happy in the world. Where this understanding comes into its own is when I'm in a tough spot, when I'm caught up in my thinking, when I'm in a thought storm. Then that's when it really it's really helpful. But I don't want to walk around going, oh yeah, lovely sunset, but I know it's coming from me and it's just thought. I want to experience that sunset. I'm at one with that sunset. I'm like, wow, this is amazing, you know. But there's other times where I could probably be in my head and not even notice the sun setting. That's the nature of who we are. So yes, just, you know, it will take a little bit of steam out of you, but we're still infinite creative potential. We still have things to do in the world, things to be, things to express. Actually, if anything, sometimes that expression is clearer because we're not dumbing it down and clouding it with so much personal thought. We're allowing the creative potential to come through. Is that helpful, Jem?
It is really helpful. And as you were just explaining that, I was kind of remembering what a friend of mine said to me a few weeks ago that's been listening to the podcast as well. And I've not seen her like face to face for probably about 4 months now. And she just said, Jem, you look so different. Whether, like, she just said, I've got like sun rays beaming out my face. She just said, something has changed within you. And like people are probably going to notice it more about yourself than you are, because you are the person that's sort of changing, transitioning, and it's sort of there every day. But I went from going, what I used to do, what used to make me feel successful was work. So I was always in very high pressured sales jobs, really quite stressful environments, but that was what I thought drove me. It was money, it was being successful, it was having that nice car, you know, having all the nice things. And it's like my friends are just like, so you just don't care about that anymore. And I'm like, well, no, it doesn't really mean anything to me. It had so much meaning before. And now, just going for a walk and being in nature, the things that I thought were boring before, or, you know, wasn't really interested in, it's like, wow, pretty much every single part of me has changed. If I had a different faith, I think you would not think that I was the same person. And it doesn't feel like a drastic shift, like you said, Moles, but it really, really is. And especially if you see someone that you've not seen for a long time, it's like, are you even the same person? It's really quite incredible. But that answered it really, really beautifully. And finding the joy in the things that you want rather than the things that you thought you needed, you really get to know who you are. And it's really quite beautiful, because those material things, yeah, it's nice to have nice shoes, and I'm always going to have nice shoes, but I don't need them anymore, you know.
Yeah, that's it. But it's playful, it becomes more playful. It's not a need for a feeling, it's I just want to go and have some nice shoes. It becomes so much simpler.
Exactly. And as you said earlier, I can be the queen of complicating things, like melting down, trying to get into the room that was already open 10 minutes before. I was like, this can't happen again. Every Thursday, there seems to be some drama, and it's only every Thursday. And I think it's just probably the universe or me testing myself, whatever it is, but we always get there. But it's always me. It's a door or something very simple. And to be able to take that, just to hold on to that and know it is me, it really is brilliant, because no one can really affect you. Like, no one can really, you know, you're not that. I used to walk around feeling kind of like a third degree burn emotional victim, you know, very, very, very sensitive. And we've been sort of working on that recently, and it's only now that I'm realizing all that sensitivity that I thought I was, it was just my belief. Yes, I feel things, and I feel like I'm in tune with people, but I don't need to be that reactive. That was all sort of in my head. And I think on this call I've just realized that, actually, because we've been working on that for a bit, and I've always thought my sensitivity was a really good thing to help people, but it actually hurt me as well. But now it's kind of just neutral. So I've had that wake-up moment just now, and we've been trying to do that for quite a while.
Bloody laugh.
Oh, Jesus. So now I'll just become some unemotional. No. But it's just that light bulb moment, and you get them all the time, but you don't know when it's going to happen. And it's like, it's actually my choice if I want to be sensitive or not. You know, I do feel everything, but I don't need to take it home with me and cry about it. You know, life is life. And just to feel that power, take my power back rather than giving it away all the time, is, yeah, wow, amazing. Feel yeah. Great.
Yeah. And what's amazing, Gem, is that, like, I can literally say to you anything and you don't take it personally. And the other thing is that when you are caught up, you come out of it so quickly now. Like, that's the beauty of this as well. It's not that we're not going to get caught up, but we can snap out of it so quickly, because as soon as we see it, it's illogical to hold on to it. It makes no sense, and it's gone. So, yeah, there's so... See, what we have to remember, what we're exploring here is the totality of it is it touches everything, okay? So you may look at it and come to it for one area of your life, but what you'll find is that it clears up so many other areas of your life, because every area of your life is made of thought. So areas that you didn't even come to get help with will look different. So that's the beauty here. It's the totality and the simplicity and the fact that we really don't have to take it all personally. You know, it's nothing's personal. We're just reacting to our own thinking. We're reacting to our own belief system. We're reacting to our feelings, and we don't need to do that.
Totally. And like, I just feel incredible. The sun is just about setting. I'm really seeing it. And it's, everything is beautiful, really beautiful. Ah, yeah, amazing. And you can probably hear it in me because it's, yeah, something amazing's happened. So,
yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, this is great. And we've got a request. We've got a moonrise. So I'm going to bring you up. And yeah, feel free. If anyone ever has any questions, some people don't want to speak. So you can just message myself on this account at the moment until I get back into my other ones. But yeah, really grateful to have you, Moonrise.
Hi, Moonrise.
Moonrise has set, he has disappeared, so I don't know if there's a bug or, but feel free to request again if you have any questions. There was another one that we had, and that is, so it basically, is it possible to feel happy, joy, contentment every single day? That's been quite a popular sort of theme. People that have been struggling, they find it maybe hard to imagine that they can be happy every day. What would you say?
I'd say probably not every day. I think we've all, you know, we're here to have a life. We're here to be human. Being human is a full contact sport, as one of the teachers, Michael Neal, says. So actually, no. But do we get absolutely okay with not being happy every day? Yeah. You know, that's the difference. You know, that might be a really good subject for another time, because we can really dive into that. It's we just completely get comfortable with being uncomfortable. There'll be days where I don't feel 100% happy and joyous. I may be in a low mood, or you know, something may be going on, and I may be caught up in thought. But I don't try and fix it. I don't analyze it. I don't try and work it out. I just allow it, because what I know is the wave of thought that's coming through is creating that, and that wave will change, and at some point I will be back to my happiness and my well-being again. So it's not, you know, the myth of you'll be 100% happy all the time when you do this, like, no, nothing's going to give you that. You know, you some days are going to feel sad. That's normal. But you don't have to fix them. You don't have to cure a sad day. This is where this is different. There becomes an acceptance of all states of mind. There becomes an acceptance of all feelings. We don't have to fix a feeling. We just have to let it be, and it will change on its own. But I think feelings is a really good one to do another day.
We should definitely do that. Possibly next week, maybe, unless something else comes up. But yeah.
Yeah,
really good one. And I think we've got Moonrise back, so if you wanted to unmute yourself, we can try round two.
I'm not sure.
No.
Hi, it's, anyway, Moonrise.
Yeah, nice to have you up here on mute.
Maybe we've answered it already. Yeah, we'll go with that.
Yeah, definitely. Well, look at the time, Miles. We're bang on.
I know, amazing.
How have we done that?
That's because we say it's going to be an hour now. That's why we do it.
Yeah,
the universe responds.
Oh, I just really want to say thank you to everybody. I can see a big occult crew in here, and so big shout out to all of you. We love cult. You need to read the white paper, everybody. It's www.cultdao.io, and yeah, everything that you guys do, we connect with, and I'm sure you guys feel that as well. So yeah, I just want to say thank you to everybody. If you've got any suggestions or topics that you want us to cover in the future, please feel free to contact us. This is why we're doing it. We're doing it for you. We're doing it because we know how much it's changed our lives, and we want to share that. So obviously Moles is a coach, so if you want to connect with her and work with her on a one-to-one level, just reach out. You can tell that it's completely changed my way of being, and you know, I feel like I'm a great subject to show you guys, because I was pretty screwy before, wasn't I? I was really very reactive to everything, and really very much trying to fix myself, and I'm not anymore, and it's just really great. So yes, if anybody has any suggestions or anything, just let us know. And yeah, we look forward to doing this. I don't want to end, really. Tonight's been brilliant.
Oh, it's been lovely. But yeah, no, time to go.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, thank you, guys. And we'll be seeing you next week.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. Really, really appreciate you all being here. Again, we've got all the old episodes. So if you're new to this, then go back. We've got, I think, 20 episodes online. The Unminding Project is on Spotify. It's on Apple. We also have a website, theunmindingproject.com. You can also DM us. So yeah, there's lots of ways to get in touch. There's lots of ways to listen to more of what we do. We will be back next week, and we hope to see you then. And have a wonderful week.
Yep, love you all, and see you next time. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Yep, love you all, and see you next time. Thank you.
Bye, everyone.